Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Kansas City Kings Fantasy Football Podcast on the Fantasy Focused YouTube channel. It must be Wednesday. It must be a Bob and Buck, a Buck and Bob day. Buck, what's going on, buddy?
Bobbo, doing real good today. Feeling it. No work. Tomorrow, Friday, Monday, got two golf rounds lined up, a lot of sports to watch. Everything is beautiful right now. And three football games tomorrow, Bob.
I know.
Three.
Yeah. It's funny how like Thanksgiving Day games we normally don't care for. I mean, Thursday games. But when it's Thanksgiving, it's almost like we feel like, all right, I'll forget all the noise. It's Thanksgiving. We need a lot of football. We got three games. It's all canceled out. Typically, Thursday games have been ugly over the last few weeks, but you know what? We're going to give it a pass. We're going to be around family, and that we're going to like it.
I think the biggest part about it is it gives you a reprieve from anything that might be going on family-wise. You know, any commotion in the kitchen area, no matter what, you can go to that couch, go to that recliner, and escape it all. Maybe it's only going to be for 15 to 20-minute intervals, but there's always an escape. You can, and then, well, you know, Once the ladies get chatting, then it's just boys time, beers time, couch time, NFL games all day long. It couldn't be any better. I can't wait.
It's funny. Scott Eminger just jumped on. Scott won. By the way, everybody, this Sunday we did a promo with FanDuel to give away a jersey, and Scott won. And Scott, we got you. I need your jersey you want, the size that you need. We're going to send it to you, man. Congratulations. We're doing it this weekend, folks. Listen, if you're listening to on the podcast side, if you are a part of the YouTube channel right now and you watch this later, we are doing a promotion. We are partnering with FanDuel every Sunday live. We're going to be giving away a jersey this Sunday of your choice. All you got to do is become a super chatter or Venmo us on the TCK Pod app, your username for FanDuel, and we will get you set up for the FanDuel Challenge. You'll challenge Buck, myself, Ryan, Jordan, and Sky, the other guy. I forget his name. I don't even do podcasts with him anymore. I forget his name. But anyway, basically, that's it, guys. For this Sunday, we're going to run this contest. Last week, Scott won. So, Scott, congratulations. The guy got a jersey. He basically had to face 7-8 people because no one jumped in the first time. Let's change that. Get involved. All you got to do is become a super chatter on Sunday live show, and we'll get you hooked up to be in the contest to win a jersey of your choice, people. Come on. You can donate like a dollar, and you can get into a chance to win a jersey. It's a no-brainer, folks. Let's get into it. First off, make sure you are following us across the board on our Instagrams, on our Twitters, all that stuff, all that good things. But we also are partnered with the Believe Podcast Network, and all our podcasts are brought to you by BetOnline.ag. And we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we're going to jump into our Thursday night and Turkey Day previews right after this.
This episode of the Candlestick Kids is brought to you by BetOnline. All eyes are back on the gridiron, and his teams are back for another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use the mobile app and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your bonus. For football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts.
All right, guys, let's get into it. Our Thursday night previews are, of course, brought to you by our Sunday Live Start Sit Show. Make sure you're joining us every Sunday Live in Good Sports. As a reminder, we have partnered with Good Sports. a charity organization that donates equipment to underprivileged communities to provide kids with equipment to play sports. So make sure you're donating, joining us. 10% of all the donations go to them. They have served over 27,000 kids and 500,000 kids in the United States. So it's a great cause. Another incentive. Not only can you win a jersey, you donate to me and Buck. Just keep us talking our asses off for the next year. And then you get 10% gets donated to a good cause. It's a triple threat win-win. All right, Buck, let's get into these games. Let's talk a little bit about these Thursday night football games. So first off, first game might be a little ugly. Bears, Lions, 41.5 over under. The only thing I can say is good news, it'll be indoors, in a nice dome. Maybe that will help some of these offenses. Bears are -3.5. Of course, the biggest news is the quarterback situation. Justin Fields looks to be out. Andy Dalton is in. Listen, Andy Dalton, you can say what you want about the guy. At least he's a serviceable backup enough. I mean, he did enough in the game late to put them in position to win. Of course, they lost the game late, but at the same time, Dalton did just enough. But no Justin Fields. The defensive line for the Bears is just destroyed. I mean, no Khalil Mack. Akeem Hicks is out. Danny Trevathan, linebacker, is out. So that could be good news for DeAndre Swift in this game. Some opening up for him. Allen Robinson looks doubtful for this game. Mooney looks to be in. Damian Williams is also out. On the flip side of the things, Lions, Jared Goff is the big one. He is questionable. I mean, the Tim Boyle Boyle does not rule because it was not great. Basically, all I can tell you is that hopefully Jared Goff plays. It sounds like he is looking to play in this game. That's probably good news for players like TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. But the Lions are also beat up on the line. No Trey Flowers. Deshaun Hand is out. They're missing some guys on the offensive line too. And their slot cornerback, A.J. Parker, is out, which is a little notable because Darnell Mooney plays about 50-50 last week. He played about half his snaps in the slot. Could be a slight boost. No Allen Robinson. So let's get your quick thoughts. Before we dive into who we're starting and sitting for the Bears and Lions, Buck, give us your 2 cents about this game.
Thank goodness it's 12:30. And thank goodness I got a lot of cooking to do between the hours of 12 and 2 p.m. So hopefully I come in at halftime, things look good. I'm actually extremely disappointed in Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions in that David Blough is not starting this game. David Blough, for those who don't know, he's listed as their second string quarterback. Yet it's Tim Boyle coming in there. And David Blough not even getting a shot. David Blough delivers heaters on Thanksgiving Day. It's what he does. It's like clockwork. David Blough won me so much money back in my college football gambling days when he's playing for the Purdue Boilermakers. It kills my heart that he's not playing. As for the disruption, though, on that defensive line and the linebacking core there for the Bears, I think it's actually going to be a pretty decent game. I think there should be points scored. Who's going to score those points? I don't know. Bears have been effective shutting down the tight ends. We're going to cover that later. I just don't really have a feel on this game. And quite frankly, Bob, I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I would say this. I know this is really – I think Darnell Mooney is the one guy that I'm actually starting – is in that flex range, and I'm actually excited to kind of play this week. Last 2 weeks, he's actually produced. Allen Robinson's banged up. You know, Detroit Lions secondary is nothing to be scared about. But the other thing about Darnell Mooney, I understand that Justin Fields is a – you know, he's more electric with his legs. He throws a nice deep ball. But when it comes down to it, you know, Andy Dalton's going to get the ball out, and he's going to get it to his playmakers. And Darnell Mooney's probably going to get a slight boost in PPR. Maybe he'll catch a little more passes. We saw in last game that he did get a couple catches. So I like him as a wide receiver three. The running backs in this game, to me, are slam dunks. I think David Montgomery, I think this is his come-out game. I think this is when he blows up. I think this is the game because he looks good on his touches. And then Swift has been – I think Swift is the weirdest – RB1 in history. Everyone talks about him like he should be a flex play, and every week he just comes out and gets like he almost got 30 touches in multiple games in a row. So Swift's in, David Montgomery's in. Bears DST, any thoughts about the Bears? I think they're kind of a slam dunk this week, but what's your thoughts on the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine starting the Bears this week. Like I said, if it was David Blough, I would stay away with a 10-foot pole type of thing. But with Tim Boyle, really not fearing much there.
Yeah. And hopefully Goff does play, at least, you know, hopefully. But anyway, the other one thing I will say is one guy I'm going to be watching, deeper name to monitor, is Josh Reynolds. Last week he led the team in routes, but it was a disaster. It was his first game in Detroit. But he has that chemistry from L.A. with Goff. So maybe there's something there down the stretch. this team is always behind, always throwing a lot. So maybe that connection happens a little bit because they're dying for playmakers and he could be a wide receiver four in a deeper format.
Thing is, though, game flow wise, I don't see it. This is Detroit on Thanksgiving. I don't think this is going to be one team putting up 30 points. I think this is going to hover around 22, 24 points being the maximum here. It's going to be ugly no matter what.
No, I'm not playing Josh Reynolds this week. What I was saying is like a stash, name a the stash, monitor, watch to see how he looks because he did lead the team in routes. So hopefully that comes up. All right, that's enough. We talked enough Lions and Bears. So we basically got that figured out. Now let's jump down to the Raiders and Cowboys. It's a 51.5 over under, which could be fun. Cowboys are -7.5 favorites at home in this game. Couple key injuries. The Raiders are actually pretty healthy. I know over the last few weeks they lost Henry Ruggs, of course, to that situation. But as a team as a whole, they're pretty healthy. Cowboys, Amari Cooper's out with COVID. CeeDee Lamb is questionable with the concussion. It sounds like he's trending in the right direction, but that's going to be up to game time. Blake Jarwin being out on IR has really helped boost Dalton Schultz usage over the last few weeks. They do have some returns on the Cowboys side. They are getting Tyron Smith, their left tackle, back. DeMarcus Lawrence, one of their best defensive lines, should be back. The lineman back is two, should be back as well. But this game is interesting. I think this is going to be a fun game. I think if CeeDee Lamb plays, we have a better shot at a shootout. I just think that Dak without CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, we saw last week against Kansas City, did not look good. So I think it's really hinging on CeeDee Lamb being able to win those matchups on the outside for this offense. But any 2 cents about this game before we dive into the start sits for this position?
I mean, I think it's clear that if I have a player that has been performing at a top 30 level here for either team, I'm playing them. I like the matchup on both ends with the Cowboys. I'm actually, I'll talk about a receiver here in a little bit that I'm higher than most on for good reason. And a lot of that has to do with CeeDee Lamb being banged up and Amari Cooper being out. So Gallup is a guy that, I mean, I guess I'll spoil it. I mean, he's a guy that I'm playing this week if I have him. I think this is a big slot week for him, and not that he's playing in the slot, but you slot him in there and nice. You make sure people know. I think it's an easy peasy one here. I mean, you're going to have to make a decision with guys like Josh Jacobs. We'll get to him later. But besides that, I'm playing the guys I have, Renfro included.
All right. So Derek Carr, are you going to play Derek Carr this week?
Yes.
Okay. So you're thinking it's going to be a shootout. You like that 51.5 over under? Okay. So Josh Jacobs in, Renfro in for you, Darren Waller in. Any of these defenses, they're both out.
They're both out.
Both out. Okay. Dak Prescott. If CeeDee Lamb is out, are you still playing Dak?
Yes. Dalton Schultz, Gallup. If CeeDee Lamb is out, it's tough because Cedric Wilson just can't hang on to the damn football. I don't understand it, but he's a playmaker. So, you know what? I'm fine starting Dak.
Okay. And what about – so Zeke we know is in, probably in your lineups. What about Tony Pollard? Any interest in Tony Pollard this week?
He's a good flex option this week, in my opinion.
Okay. CeeDee Lamb, of course, if he's in, you're playing him. If CeeDee Lamb is out or in, is Gallup in your lineups either way? Are you playing Gallup this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're in a spot where you have to go upside, I think the point total's there. So because of that, vis-a-vis, I'm going to go with a guy like Gallup. I think there's upside there. Remember, it's easy to forget because he's only played in 3 games this year. Easy to forget. Finished with 1,100 plus yards 2 years ago. Finished with nearly 900 last year. He can play. Yeah. I mean, 6 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns. He's also a threat down there. This is a guy who can play. He's just been riddled by problems this year. And, you know, it's not his fault. So he's healthy now. If he gets a chance to shine, I don't think he turns it down.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you have Gallup on your team and you can't play him when CeeDee Lamb and Cooper are out, then why do you have Gallup on your team? So
even if Lamb is playing, Bob, I'm still like, he's a little shaky. He's probably going to be on a limited touch volume or limited route volume. So Gallup is a guy that I'm high on. I will start him if I have the option to flex.
66% of the points to wide receivers against the Raiders over the last 5 weeks have been on the outside. So that's good news for Gallup, who plays on the perimeter. Sure, so I do like that. Dalton Schultz, in my opinion, I think he's locked and loaded. I love as soon as one of those guys is out, Cooper, Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Schultz just kind of slips right in, gives you that nice, beautiful 5 for 50, and we're good to go. And I think against the Raiders, no one's scared off by the Raiders defense against tight end. So I'm in on Dalton Schultz. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hard in.
All right. I like it. All right. So we can jump down to the next game. Bills Saints, your Bills on the road against the Saints, 45 over under, which is, that's pretty low. I mean, the Bills offense has been a little, you know, a little concerning, but hey, we're going to have confidence. Bills minus six on the road. They're feeling it. I mean, the Saints offense just loaded with injuries, but let's dive into it. Injuries for the Bills. There's a couple guys on COVID that I'm actually interested to see if they get cleared in time for. Spencer Brown, right tackle. Star Latulule, one of their defensive tackles. Listen, they didn't have Justin Zimmer, they didn't have Edmonds, and they didn't have Star Latulule, and Jonathan Taylor ate them alive. Good news, Edmonds should be back this week, but Zimmer will not be, and neither will Star. I mean, the Star Latulule, he's on COVID. I don't know if he'll be back, but still, not having two of your primary defensive linemen is not going to be good for this team. Could help whoever the starting running back is, of course, because Alvin Kamara out for this game. Mark Ingram is questionable.
What happened to Ingram, though? Like, it just came out of nowhere yesterday.
Yeah, it's his knee injury. I think he's going to play. You know, he's not going to pass up. He was a limited practice today, so I think he'll be in. But I scooped up Tony Jones in a couple leagues just in case to see what happens, because if both those guys are out, they use their running backs a bunch. So I think that Tony Jones will probably be a low flex play, even against Buffalo. You could beat Buffalo on the ground. They're really tough against receivers. I just have to think they're going to use their running backs to try to beat Buffalo. It's the only way you can do it. Adam Trautman is out this week. That's just another weapon that's going to be done for the Saints. You know, Jawan Johnson is not someone I'm going to play this week, but just keep an eye on him because he is a good athletic, former wide receiver converted. Now with Adam Trautman out, maybe someone named to monitor in a good matchup later in the year. But the Saints' defensive line, man, when you talk about the injuries to these guys, Marcus Davenport looking out, they're missing three other defensive linemen as well on top of Davenport, which is their depth is shot. So that's going to be good news for the Bills. The run game is a mess. You know, Breda, Zach Moss and all that hoopla, we're done with that. But they're also going to be missing right tackle Ryan Ramczyk. The good news is they might get back Teron Armstead, who was questionable. He did practice today. That's going to be a big boost if they get their left tackle back. And also C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the slot cornerback. The Saints are a slot funnel defense that could be a slight boost for Cole Beasley, who has taken a back seat over the last couple games because of the rib, because of Dawson Knox. We'll get your thoughts on that in a second. But anything before we dive into individual players from a game perspective, you looking for a bounce back for the Bills, or do you think the Saints can keep it close at home?
I think Saints keep it close. Despite all those injuries you rattled off there, this Bills team, they're looking like imposters. So it's all about finding yourself, right? It's something we all had to go through in our middle high school years. You got to figure out who you are. If you're really a contender, if you can talk to Sally and maybe ask her to the prom, you know, I mean, it's tough.
Sally said no, but that's okay.
Bills don't have a prom date, my friend. Bills do not have a prom date as it currently stands. So it's a big game. I'm extremely nervous. My dad is extremely nervous. My mom is not feeling great about it. You know, us Bills fans, we don't love watching the Bills in primetime. At least I don't. My family doesn't, because it's nerve-wracking. I don't, you know, I want us to be a little secret, but it's no secret when you're shitting the bed in two out of three of the last weeks. Everyone knows it. Everybody smells it. And I'm just nervous. I mean, I feel like with the injuries to the Saints, it reeks of a big Josh Allen game. But Josh Allen has to rein it in. I agree on Cole Beasley. Should be a good week. That's about it, man. I don't know what to make of the running back situation. There's an interesting question here, Dried Ocean. Is it a bias blinding him? He is a Bills fan. Breda or Pollard?
Question for tomorrow's game. Yeah, I mean, listen, Breda is – so this is the thing. It is a legit three-headed monster. It really is. Like, Breda had five carries, three for Moss and Singletary. But Singletary and Moss ran more routes than Breda. So, like, it is an absolute three-way-headed monster.
Can't figure it out.
Yeah, my only thing is this. I know the Saints are extremely banged up on the defensive line. But they're still not a matchup you target for running backs. I know that it does help that they have injuries, but schematically they still have been decent against the run. I just think Matt Breda is someone that I don't mind. If you have deeper benches, if you have somebody you've been floating in and out all year, you don't know where to stash somebody. I think Breda, I want to see if he takes the next step, because he went from nothing to now getting carries in a game where they've been behind. Now they're favored in this game. I'm interested to see if he can get you close to 10 carries if they start, because he looks better. He just looks more explosive than Moss and Singletary. So I think he's worth a stash, but I am not starting either of these guys this week.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to choose between the two of them, I'd go with Pollard.
Okay. Well, that's it, folks. That's all of the game, Thursday night games. You know, Thanksgiving is going to be fun all day. Bucks at 12:30. I got to get up at 9:30 to watch the Bears and Lions. So,
oh,
yeah.
Boo-hoo.
Yeah. Boo-hoo. Whatever. I get up at 7 for you, all right? I don't want to hear it, all right? Everybody, I'm up early. It doesn't even matter. I don't care because I love you guys.
You got to readjust your internal clock there, bub.
It's been adjusted. Are you kidding me? I had off. I got up at 7 a.m. anyway. Like, my body's just like, hey, it's time to – and I wake up, I just say, welcome to Sunday Live. I just say that on a freaking rogue Wednesday, all right? That's how crazy it's embedded in my brain. But that's all our game previews for Thursday. Once again, brought to you by our Sunday Live Start Sit Show. Make sure you're joining us every Sunday Live, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And all the donations from the Super Chatter. Become a Super Chatter on YouTube. Donate to the TCK Pod Venmo. Get into our Sunday contest to win a jersey, folks. We're giving away a jersey of your choice this Sunday Live. So make sure you're joining us on the Sunday show, or just DM us your username at TCK Pod Venmo, throw $1 or $2, whatever you can for the show. We'll get you the link to the contest. You'll be in. And finally, 10% of all donations go to good sports. All right. So let's get into why we're really here. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about our positional start sits. And our positional start sits are brought to you by Care Factor. And before we dive into these positional start sits, we're going to do a quick commercial break for our new sponsor, Care Factor, right after.
Hey, TCK Potters and Fantasy Focus community. Are you looking for options for hair loss? There are many options out there for treating it. However, most products treat the cause, such as DHT, and don't do much to support the growth of new and stronger hair. It's like removing harmful weeds from your lawn, but not doing much to fertilize the grass. That's why the Fantasy Focus and TCK team has partnered with Care Factor. Care Factor saw this problem and focused their research on finding just the right combination of biosynthetic growth factors and an innovative delivery system to promote fuller, stronger-looking hair. So whether you're a listener who suffers from various forms of alopecia or even stress-related hair loss, the Care Factor treatment is the perfect scalp-friendly solution that can help and influence stronger and healthy hair throughout all stages of the hair life cycle. And now, exclusively for TCK listeners, use the promo code TCK at checkout to get 15% off all products at shop.mycarefactor.com. That's shop.mycarefactor.com. Care Factor, skincare for hair.
All right, Buck, you know what to do. Kick us off. Let's talk a little bit about a QB, how we're doing it today. We basically say we make up imaginary line. I throw it on a spreadsheet and tell Buck, anybody over, you fade, anybody under. Can't tell you the rhyme or reason. I'm a crazy person. Buck just goes along with it. I don't know why. Until he stops me, we're going to keep doing it. Buck, give us a fade this week. A highly owned player you're going to fade at the QB position.
Fading Joey Burrow. Two straight clunkers against better defenses than the one he faces in the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. Joe Burrow scared me a little bit, Bob. That's it.
Oh, listen, and I like that. My guy is actually, I have to cheat a little bit, and I apologize. It's a contingency. First, it's Dak Prescott if CeeDee Lamb is out. I just don't, listen, the Raiders have been average against quarterbacks this year, middle of the pack, but they're really tough against receivers. Then they kind of fall, you could probably beat them more on the ground with Zeke Elliott, then you could beat them through the air. But the thing about their secondary, they have some good guys like Casey Hayward, but they're also oddly really tough against slot guys. So if you're looking at Cedric Wilson, for example, as a flyer, I don't like it because the Raiders have been tough against slot receivers all year. Then you're relying on Dalton Schultz. And I don't think that Dak Prescott is going to completely shit the bed. But if you're looking at 250, maybe two versus the Raiders without CeeDee Lamb, I just think that there's better options, which we'll talk about in just a second, that you can actually scoop up on waivers right now that give you a lot more upside. If CeeDee Lamb is in, I feel more confident in Dak as a low QB1. That's why I'm going to shift my guy to Russell Wilson. I know that he's got this matchup against the Washington football team, and everyone's all excited because the Washington football team has been terrible all year. But when you start diving into the last 5 weeks, they're slowly getting better. You know, so we've seen the Washington football team. They shut down Teddy Bridgewater. He did not perform. Tom Brady only had 17 points against them. Last week, Cam Newton went off, did very well. but he had 46 rushing yards and a touchdown, so he beat him on the ground. Russell has not been as willing to run the football, and Cam Newton only threw for 189 yards passing. So, yes, Cam Newton did have a good fantasy day, but he did it with his legs. And I just feel that if you take that element out, they have been much better against passers the last few weeks. So I think Russell Wilson traveling on the road on the East Coast to play the Washington football team against their slowly improving that have the talent, really. I think that I would be hesitant to start Russell Wilson because of how he's played recently. But that's basically our QB's fades. Now that I need to find a guys that we can potentially buy. Maybe guys that are on the waiver wire still. Maybe somebody you scooped up a buck. Who's a QB you're buying this week for fantasy?
Kirk Cousins for the third time on this very show. Kirk Cousins. Bob, what do you think his clip has been over the last five games?
Like what QB he is?
Yeah, what QB?
Eight.
He's seven. Woo! And he's averaging over 275 yards a game in those five games, 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions. You know what I like, Bob? I like clean quarterback play. You know what I also like? Justin Jefferson. That's one of the things in this world that I really appreciate dearly. He's got a good matchup here against San Francisco. Sure, he's on the road. Kirk loves being indoors. He's an indoor cat.
He's
not an outdoor cat.
Him and Jared Goff, those guys, indoor
but
cats.
But Kirk Cousins, he's just been so solid. And the Vikings are a confounding football team. I can't figure them out. Nobody can. And it's been like this for a long time.
Yeah.
But he's just damn good, dude. Kirk Cousins is the most undervalued quarterback in the league. I'm opting for him this week over Joe Burrow.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins, too. Like, listen, the Jimmy G and those guys are playing well. That 49ers-Minnesota game could be fun. With how good that – yeah, that game could be a sneaky shootout, folks. My guy is actually someone that I know you agree with me, too, is actually Cam Newton. And Cam Newton is on the rise. He's playing the Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins have all this talent in the secondary. They look like they're improving. And then, like, they constantly – it's like a yo-yo effect. Joe Cool – I mean, listen, Joe Cool is elite. And he looked elite. He had, like, 278 yards and two touchdowns. And – hey, for some reason, they just can't put it together consistently, even with Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, yada, yada. But Cam Newton, the thing I like about him, of course, it's a rushing quarterback thing. I just brought this up, 46 yards and a touchdown last week. He had a rushing touchdown, though, 2 weeks prior. They were supposed to split reps with him and Philip Walker. Well, that did not go. Cam Newton got all the reps, and that just shows me that it's his job now. He's in it. They trust him. They're buying into it. But you can make an argument that Cam Newton hasn't had this type of talent around him for a very long time. DJ Moore is probably his best receiver. I know he played with him back in 2018, but DJ Moore was a rookie then. So now he's got to develop DJ Moore. Robbie Anderson is number two. He's also got Christian McCaffrey, who, when watching him run routes, it blows my mind how good he is. He looks insane out there, and it's crazy how good Christian McCaffrey is. But also, Matt Rhule's offenses at Baylor, he had a quarterback called Charlie Brewer, and he had 18 rushing touchdowns his final 2 years at quarterback playing at Baylor. Which I like because it means Matt Rhule knows that he knows to value rushing quarterbacks. So I like the idea of Cam Newton in this system because it is a different system than he was in Carolina prior to this. In 2020, I know we don't love Cam. He finishes the QB 17. Like, as bad as Cam Newton was, he threw for 2,600 yards and eight touchdowns. But he finishes the QB 17 because he runs the football. So if you're able to scoop up Cam Newton, I think you start him. I'm actually starting him over Dak this week in one league that I need to get a win. I need that upside. So I'm leaning Cam over Dak in my game. Even if CeeDee Lamb plays, I'm going in on Dak against Miami. All right.
I want to thank you for reminding me about Chuck Brewman, as I used to call him back in the days at Baylor. Chucky Brewmeister.
I love it. So, Buck, we're going to jump down to the running back position. Give us your running back that you're fading that's heavily owned on most rosters.
So, I was wrong. Live show last week, I was actually endorsing Josh Jacobs. I might have even done it on this show, too. He's completely – it's finally sealed, Bob. He's touchdown dependent. Point blank, period. I am ready to admit that I've been wrong on him a lot more than I've been right. And – he's facing the sixth best rush defense in the league this week. Josh Jacobs is out. And I have a hard time, but I have to start him in a dynasty league. It is a standard league, so not missing out on much if he gets in the end zone. But, man, it's a labor of love, and it's also a labor of hatred.
Yeah. And the funny, I had the same thing happen to me earlier this year with Tyler Boyd. It's been a rough one. I love Tyler Boyd. And then I write an article about him last week, and then he has like a decent game. And I'm like, you know what? You know what? F you, Tyler. Like, I was your biggest proponent, and you just let me down. So I feel you. I feel your pain. You talk about Josh right there. It makes me run me and Tyler.
You were a Boydie. Gotta move on. I was a Boydie. Like, you was know, a huge. T-Swift fan, Swifties. Yeah. You were a Boydie.
I was, and he let me down. The old Bengals offense has just been Jamar Chase all day. Speaking of them, let's talk about Joe Mixon. Yeah, that's right. I'm so bitter. I'm taking it out on his friends now. When you cross me, I go for your family and your friends. That's right, folks. This is a dark show. All right, so Joe Mixon. This is
getting way dark.
Yeah, that's right. Watch yourselves, you kids. Joe Mixon, last – so let's talk about playing the Pittsburgh
Don't threaten
Steelers.
The kids, Bob.
Not the kids. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Anybody 18 and older, you're going down. Yeah, I don't know. This is – forget it. I'm losing my shit. Anyway, Joe Mixon. Yeah, I'll talk about Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are one of the defenses. Listen, we know T.J. Watt. We'll figure out what's going on with that situation. Joe Hayden and Micah Fitzpatrick, they did look vulnerable last week against the Chargers. But I think from my perspective with the Steelers, there's still a very good run defense with Casey Hayward in the middle. And Joe Mixon, his last three games against the Steelers, 17 carries on average, 17 carries, 77 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, that's fine. But at the same time, that doesn't get done for fantasy. He's had five receptions for 5 yards in those three games. So, like, he has been well under 10 points in half point and full point PPR the last three times he's gone out and faced them. He does not find the end zone. The Steelers are a great defense against the run. Joe Mixon is not used enough in the passing game to compensate for a really, really tough run game matchup. So I think, and Big Ben and this whole thing last week was great. The high scoring affair, but most of their games, and of course these NFC North games always get ugly. 21-17, you know, all that crap, and 17-14 stuff. So I think that in this matchup, I'm just fading Joe Mixon because I know that in historically against the Steelers, he's really struggled. So, Buck, those are our running back fades. You know how we do. Give us some buys. Some guys, maybe potentially guys we can start over these players, or maybe some guys maybe cost cheaper in DFS. Give us your thoughts.
It'll certainly be cheaper. I'm going to go Devonta Freeman here. 16 carries last week. Double-digit carries in three consecutive weeks now. So this is a guy who's getting the action, and I like guys that are getting the action. He hasn't looked half bad either. I like the matchup here facing the 20th-ranked rush defense in the league. I think it's a plus matchup for him and the Ravens at large. Devonta Freeman's my guy.
Yeah, that makes me interested. Like, what happened last week? So it went 16 carries for 49 yards and 10 carries for 32 for Lat Murray. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right. I feel you. All right. Lamar's back. Okay. My guy I'm actually going to talk really quick about is J.D. McKissic. I don't know how I feel about the Antonio Gibson resurgence because of the fact that, you know, J.D. is still being involved, but he's had two slower games now. Last week, they played the Carolina Panthers. And when you look at my data for receiving running backs, the Carolina Panthers are by far the toughest matchup for pass-catching running backs. Well, do a 180, and that's the matchup he has this week. Literally, it's the best matchup for pass-catching running backs, Washington football team against Seattle. Seattle has been completely crushed in the pass game by running backs. James Conner, 5 receptions, 37 yards. Packers running backs, 6 receptions for 123 yards through the air. Carlos Hyde had 6 receptions for 40 yards. So I just think that JD is going to have much more success catching the ball if you're in a PPR format. He's a guy that a lot of people don't need to rely on week in and week out. And I think if you're in a PPR, even a half-point PPR format, I think that he could actually get it done for you this week. So I like JD McKissic as a flex play this week. All right, but before we dive into the receivers and tight ends and some of our streamers, we're going to take a quick commercial break, talk about another one of our sponsors, Bomb Banana Hot Sauce. Be right back after this.
Want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, Bomb Banana Hot Sauce. They're a brand new banana-based hot sauce founded by 4 University of Michigan grads. Shouts out to the Wolverines. Their sauce is an absolute must-have at any draft or watch party. Put it on nachos, pizza, wings, or literally any dip, and you will never be forced to eat boring party food again. I promise. The sweet heat and the chili banana combo provides a truly delicious restaurant-quality flavor. They currently offer 2 flavors, the original with the white label and the spicier Muy Muy that comes in the red label. I'm more of a mild guy, but if you like the spice, the Muy Muy is what you want. Be Super excited to officially be part of the Bomba Nation. Hashtag Bomba Nation. We hope that you'll join us there. Head over to the website, www.seekthespice.com. Use the discount code TCK at checkout to get 10% off of your order. Once again, Bomb Banana Hot Sauce, banana-based, not banana-flavored hot sauce. Seekthespice.com, promo code TCK.
All right, Buck, let's get into a wide receiver. We're talking fades. Give us your wide receiver that's heavily owned that you're fading this week for week 12.
Fading Chase Claypool here, Bob. So Chase Claypool, I mean, number one, Cincy, top 10 defense against wide receivers. And then you also had the factor that how many, without looking, which I'm sure in your brain you already have this. When you look at Chase Claypool, what do you see? Do you see a red zone target? Yes or no?
You would think so. Big body. You throw fades to him all the time.
You would think so.
Yeah.
He has 9 this season. 9. Mm-hmm. There's a reason he's got 1 touchdown. For whatever reason, Najee Harris being the main one there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just it's not happening. So Chase Claypool is a fade for me this week. I just don't believe in it. And like you said, that entire game, I look to be a scrappy, heaping mess.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. The Steelers, the AFC North games, man, they always good to fade for offensively.
All right, need a shower after them.
Yeah. Oh, forget about it. I need a shower after this podcast.
I always do. Yeah, you dirty boy. I mean? I know. You foul boy.
Buck, listen. First of all, we attack the children. Now we're talking about how dirty we are. This podcast is going to be flagged very shortly. So let's.
Oh, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. They love us.
There have been zero children threatened or harmed in the production of this show.
I should put that as the ticker at the bottom. Anyway, yeah. Back to our fades. My fade is this week's Adam Thielen. I know you're feeling Kirk Cousins, and that's great. And I think they'll figure out ways to manufacture points for Kirk. One of the things about the San Francisco 49ers is that they've had a lot of moving parts on defense, a lot of injuries, but they're slowly getting healthy. They're slowly getting stronger against perimeter receivers. Over the last 5 weeks, they've allowed the 7th fewest points to outside wide receivers. Now, because of Justin Jefferson, I just don't think there's going to be enough of a pie for Jefferson and Thielen to eat in this game. So I just think that Jefferson is the one I lean on. I say he's probably close to a wide receiver too. I think Adam Thielen is a 3-4 in this game because of the tougher matchup. Look at some of the guys over the last few weeks. I know Marvin Jones hasn't been great all year, but 452, pretty much all in garbage time. Van Jefferson, the de facto number one with Robert Woods out 2 weeks ago, 3 for 54. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, you have to go all the way back to that Seattle game. The last time they faced two dominant receivers, you know, Metcalf did enough for him. He got a touchdown, but Lockett 4 for 24. So there isn't enough for two premier wide receivers to dominate. So in those kind of situations, I typically lean Jefferson. It might even be closer to a 60-40 coin flip. I mean, because Thielen gets his sometimes too, and Jefferson takes a seat. But I'm going to bet on talent, bet on youth this one. I'm going to go Jefferson. So that's why I'm fading Adam Thielen. But now I'm having the issue of having Adam Thielen on my team, Buck. So give me a lower-owned wide receiver that I could potentially scoop up or play off my bench to replace one of these wide receivers.
I'm going with Mike Gallup this week. We talked about it earlier. No need to really shine on it much more than we did previously. But Mike Gallup, with the absence of Amari Cooper, that leaves a wide open space for him on the outside there. And I think it'll be a good high-scoring game. So I want a piece of that. And Gallup, don't sleep on him. He's been hurt. He's been trying to get back. Mike Gallup is my guy this week.
Okay. I'm jumping down to my guy, and my guy is Brandon Ayuk. And Brandon Ayuk has been a slow-moving storm, and now we're finally in the middle of it. Like, it took us a long time, but I've been talking on the Player Trend Show. It started with his usage. He got back on the field. The production wasn't there. Now, Jimmy G's healthy. The offense is flowing. George Kittle's back, and the passing game is starting to gel. The other thing that's unique about Brandon Ayuk's situation is that they're using Deebo Samuel as a de facto running back. He's getting a lot of carries, which is opening up more targets for Brandon Ayuk, who last week led the team in routes and targets, and Brandon Ayuk still produced with Deebo and Kittle getting a touchdown and producing for themselves. I think that's a great sign moving forward, but the matchup this week against Minnesota, no team has allowed more points to wide receivers over the last 5 weeks than Minnesota. Patrick Peterson is back, but he is not used to shadow wide receivers at all with Minnesota. He's been stationed on one side, and these receivers move all over the place. And they manufacture touches for them. So I'm going to ride the hot hand with Brandon Ayuk. All right, so those are our ins and outs for the wide receiver position, Buck. Let's jump down to the tight end. Give me a tight end that you're willing to fade that is heavily owned on rosters right now.
It's the same one you have.
Oh.
I couldn't get creative. I'm sorry.
No,
it's TJ Hockenson. Yeah. Like when I look at that list of where that break point was, Bob, the only one that jumps out is TJ Hockenson. Yeah. So I'll let you elaborate on that.
Well, for me, when it comes down to Hockenson, there's like four matchups for tight ends in my metric that I use that are really bad. Denver, New England, Buffalo, and Chicago. Those are the four toughest matchups for tight ends. And actually, believe it or not, Arizona is really tough too. But those are the four key ones that I think that are I try to fade most often. And with Hockenson's situation, I understand that the Jared Goff might be back. That's a slight boost. But I just feel that there's a couple of tight ends this week specifically who are I'm going to talk about one. You're going to talk about one that are less owned that I think I would rather start. Guys like Gerald Everett are creeping into the back of my mind that I'd rather start over TJ Hockenson. So let's get into the guys that I'm more confident. I think TJ Hockenson, if you're desperate, I see a 4-for-35 game incoming, right now. And I just don't think the upside's there. So let's talk about some of our tight end buys, Buck. Give us a tight end you're buying for this week.
I don't know if this should make you happy or a bit sad, Bob, but maybe happy. Evan Engram.
Yeah, well.
A ghost from the past, so I don't know how you're going to feel about that. But the Eagles, they've allowed the most yards, the most catches, the most touchdowns against the tight end position for this year. Purely matchup base for me. Evan Engram's my guy.
Yeah, and he led the team in routes last week too, so I hear you on that one, and that makes a lot of sense. My guy is Pat Freiermuth. This is more of a PSA. Eric Ebron is done for the year. He is on IR. It is time to forget about what you thought about Pat Freiermuth. It is go time. It is tight end one season for Pat Freiermuth pretty much the rest of the way out. Eric Ebron being out is huge. Juju is not coming back. James Washington is not proven to be a solid number three in production. It goes to Pat Freiermuth. So the key for Pat Freiermuth is simple. Two games without Eric Ebron this season, 9 receptions, 87 yards, 3 touchdowns. He becomes immediately, we just talked about Chase Claypool, right? How he's not getting the red zone looks. Well, guess who does? It's Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth when he's down there in the games that he was out there. Also, he was second on the team in targets in those two games with 12 on, and then the third on routes. The other thing that's key about him, he's early on in the season, he was running about 60% of the routes that Deontay Johnson was running because he's splitting time with Eric Ebron. That jumps to 75% when he is out there without Eric Ebron. So Pat Freiermuth, get him in your lineups. I actually got him off waivers in one league in a shallow 10-team league. If you're able to scoop him up and start him this week, absolutely. So, Buck, those are our positional start sits. Buck, I know you got to go. I'll handle some streamers for you, but tell the people what you need. All right, we got one question. Sorry, go ahead.
Because it's my guy, Scotty, Bill's Army Buck Mafia, I'll stay on for this, and then I got to run, We got to see old friends that we haven't seen for 2 years at this point. Should he drop Hockenson for Freiermuth? I figured it was a very valid question, very timely question here from Scotty. I'll leave that one to you, Bob. I want to hear it.
Yeah, let me just check because I actually did rest of season rankings for tight ends recently. I actually just did all this stuff. I'm thinking about this Friday or Saturday. I'm dropping an episode for everybody, all rest of season schedules. So let me just pull up what I got here. So Pittsburgh is middle of the pack.
Detroit. Bobby spreadsheets, the man of myth.
So rest of season, Detroit has the toughest rest of season schedule for tight ends. Pittsburgh's middle of the pack. So yes, I am going to drop TJ Hockenson for Freiermuth. But I would say this, you might not need to do that. You might be able to play some matchup, mix and match with these two guys. See how it looks with Jared Goff back. You might have another player to drop. But in a vacuum, I'm going with Pat Freiermuth. Because if I need to win now, I'm playing Freiermuth this week. And then season long, I feel that Pat Freiermuth is just going to be in better spots. So I think in the offense, I'm going to take Freiermuth. So, yes, I'd be willing to do this. But I will try to keep Hockenson, maybe drop that wide receiver 5 or 6 you have or running back 5 you have on your roster first.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you, as always. I know you can handle some of these streamers and a couple of these questions for the people here. You're very apt to do that. Thanks. And I love our listeners, and I hope everybody out there has a great Thanksgiving. Be safe Thanks, out Buck. There, everybody. Enjoy
All right, time. Buck, take it easy, man.
Bye.
That is the Buck 59 coming in live. Buck, thanks. Appreciate you as always. Let's talk about some streamers. What I'm going to do is tight end, QB, defense, and kickers because I'm a psychopath. I like talking about kickers, and you guys really – that's why you guys are really here. And then finally, we'll close out with some questions. So first off, if you're looking at deep dive, if you're completely scrapping, this is not people you're going to start over TJ Hockenson. These are like if you don't have any options and you're streaming all the time. First of all, number one, PSA, check your waiver wires for Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas has been dropped everywhere. He's being designated return off IR. Check your waiver wires for Logan Thomas. But here's two names. The first one's Ryan Griffin. The second one's Farrell Brown. They're both playing each other in the same game. And I want to put this out there. So Ryan Griffin is playing against Houston this week. Houston is one of the best matchups against for tight ends. But also, Tyler Kroft, the tight end that he's been sharing time with, has been out for the last couple weeks. But Ryan Griffin actually ran a decent amount of routes last week. He caught a few passes in a much tougher matchup. This week against Houston, I think he could be someone that you'd possibly throw a dart at. Great DFS for DK. Low-owned guy. He's not going to be on your radar. The other one's Farrell Brown. And I like Farrell Brown. I talked about Farrell Brown a long time ago. But Jordan Akins looks to be a healthy and active. He was splitting work with Jordan Akins. Now, last week, we saw Farrell Brown out there by himself. That game was really weird. And I'm just going to bring up, you know, I got to bring this up because I got to do it because this is an interesting nugget about Farrell Brown. So last week, they didn't throw a lot. Remember, that game was super weird against the Titans. They had three drives start in their own red zone. So it got real weird. But Farrell Brown had, you know, three targets on limited snaps, but he ran 18 routes to 27 for Brandon Cooks. So maybe in a game where there might be a little more excitement, a little more pass volume in this Jets-Houston's game, you could figure out maybe Farrell Brown's a dart throw. Deep dive at quarterback. First one's Tyler Heinicke against Seattle. In my matchup metrics, Seattle's number one. So I'm gonna actually fire up Tyler Heinicke as a streamer this week. If you're the Patrick Mahomes owner, if you're the Kyler Murray / Colt McCoy person who's been doing that whole thing, you might look at Tyler Heinicke. Need someone deeper? I like Mac Jones against Tennessee. The Titans have lost it. They have no linebackers. They cannot stop anybody. I mean, Houston Texans, that situation was bad. The Houston game I would like to take with a grain of salt because that defense was put in a bad situation in a rainy day. They were, I think, two drives were inside the 10. It was insane. But Mac Jones against Tennessee, I think he can get it done. We've seen Mac Jones in plus matchups actually perform well for fantasy. So if you're looking for a deeper name, it's Mac Jones. Defensive streamers, the two obvious ones I think the most are the Bears against Detroit, Texans versus the Jets. I like those two this week. If you're looking kind of for oddball ones, the ones that maybe are off the beat, some guys that might be available, the Eagles against the Giants. The Eagles DST is getting it together. They're figuring out how to win. They actually have performed very well the last few weeks. They're also creating turnovers and scoring touchdowns, which is insane. Giants, just a disaster. Freddie Kitchens, though, as a Giants fan, I have been a proponent of Freddie Kitchens being the offensive coordinator for a long time because if you've been around me for a long time, you know about my videos I've made previously. I talk about the Earhart Perkins offense. Joe Judge, the New England Patriots run an Earhart Perkins scheme. Jason Garrett did not do that. They brought him in because they probably thought that was a smart decision. Freddie Kitchens comes from that scheme. I like continuity. Let's get it in there. Let's get the Earhart Perkins offense in there. It's going to take some time. Maybe if they don't fire Joe Judge, they can get Freddie Kitchens installed next year. So I do like that, but I think the Eagles are a good start this week. And the Browns versus Baltimore, completely out of the blue. We talk about these AFC North games all the time. This is more of a Hail Mary throw, off the beat, maybe DFS, but not feeling the Browns as much, but they came up in my matchup metric as a decent option. Kickers, my tier one kickers, of course, if you can get your hands on these two guys. Listen, Tyler Bass, Justin Tucker, you know, all those guys, we get it. You're not going to get those guys. But Nick Folk, if he's available, he's still available in about 30% of Yahoo leagues. Get Nick Folk. He's going to be awesome this week. Greg Zuerlein, coming off the COVID list and a bad game against Kansas City and back-to-back bad games for that Cowboys offense. That bad game against Kansas City. Greg Zuerlein is an underrated play this week. Should bounce back. Tier two guys I like, Brandon McManus, Denver. Evan McPherson, Bengals, Zane Gonzalez, Panthers, Jake Elliott, the Eagles, and then Michael Badgley, the Colts. Michael Badgley earned that spot ahead of Rodrigo Blankenship, so ride the hot wave. So I like all those guys as well. So those are all our streamers for this week. Let me dive into some listener questions too, because I appreciate you guys spending some time here as well. So first off, Wee Boston says, start two, Mike Williams, Brandon Cooks, T. Higgins, Marvin Jones. So I'm going to address this by my handy dandy spreadsheet, because that's what I do. The first one is Brandon Cooks is in for me 100%. The Chargers get Denver. That's an average matchup. We got T. Higgins against Pittsburgh. I mean, that's been weird. Not going to do that one. So I'm out on Higgins and Marvin Jones. Jacksonville has Atlanta. I have this weird feeling about Marvin Jones this week, but I am not going to start him ahead of Mike Williams. So I'm going to go Mike Williams, Brandon Cooks this week. So those are my answers for you, Wee Boston. Appreciate the question. Make sure, guys, listen, if you're listening on here, you play FanDuel, you want to play FanDuel, you want a chance to win a jersey, join us on Sunday, guys. We'll get you set up for that. Scott, you're in the actual competition. We'll get you set up, man. Make sure you do that. Send us your jersey size, and you send us the jersey you want. We'll get you hooked up. Start Brandon Ayuk or Darnell Mooney. Mark, you crazy SOB. These are two guys I'm high on this week. I'm actually going to lean Brandon Ayuk. The matchup's just too good against the Minnesota Vikings. Jordan, what's up, buddy? What's up, gentlemen? Buck, he called you a gentleman. I'll let you know later. Half PPR flex, Ramondre Stevenson, Landry, Boyd, Jeff Wilson. You know, Elijah Mitchell should be back this week. So I'm not, I don't think I'm going to start Jeff Wilson in the game against Minnesota. But if Elijah Mitchell has to miss another game, I'm going to throw in Jeff Wilson out of this group. That being said, Cincinnati's got Pittsburgh. That's not a bad matchup for Boyd in the slot. Cleveland has got Baltimore. Let's see what Baltimore's at. So, you know, I break this out by slot versus wide. So when I'm looking at through this stuff, and Ramondre, listen, Ramondre's special. Yo, that guy, listen, I watched Ramondre last week against Atlanta on that game on Thursday. He is special. This kid is something. I actually sat him in two leagues that I needed to win in, and I was sweating it every time that guy touched the ball because he looks awesome. Awesome. So I love Ramondre. He's just going to be in very limited touches. The matchup this week for New England is only average against Tennessee's run defense, but he's special. Oh, man. He's going to be awesome for Dynasty. I mean, I hope that he gets a legit shot one day. But I guess in this scenario, Cleveland's got Baltimore. I am actually going to lean Tyler Boyd in this group. Believe it or not, Tyler Boyd, after all he's done to me. Boyd's hurt, though. Actually, Boyd is hurt. He's banged up. Baltimore, huh? Let's see. This one's taking long. I'm just trying to figure this out. Sorry, I'm talking through it on now. I'm trying my best here. Yeah, Baltimore is playing against Cleveland, and Cleveland has been good again. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm going to lean Landry. I know Boyd's got the knee issue. I'm not sure what's going on with that. So I'm going to actually go Landry. This is a bad decision. I know it is. But Jeff Wilson if Elijah Mitchell's out, and Landry if Mitchell is in. Okay, let's jump down to the next one. Sorry, boys. This has been I have to think this stuff through. Let's see. Got a trade on the table for Kamara, Brandon Cooks, Ingram, and Kirk Cousins for McMillan, Miles Sanders, and Kyler. So I would rather have – so Kamara, listen, he's going to be out another week at the most, but he's going to be back after that. So it really comes down to you're getting the Kamara-Ingram pair with Kirk Cousins and Ingram for Sanders. I like Sanders and McLaurin. I'm going to take McLaurin, Miles Sanders, and Kyler Murray. That's the side of the Arthur, McLaurin, Miles Sanders, and Kyler Murray. I'm a believer in Miles Sanders way too much in that scenario. Let's see. Mark, 1-2. Ayuk, Mooney, and Pittman. Still going to be Ayuk for me, Mark. I'm going to go there. Would you guys drop Sony Michel, pick up Zach Moss? I am going to drop Sony Michel if I am not the Daryl Henderson owner. If you're the Daryl Henderson owner, you keep Sony Michel. Sony Michel is one of the best handcuffs you can have in fantasy. But if you're not the Daryl Henderson owner, Sue J9K, I would pick up – I wouldn't even pick up Zach Moss. I mean, he's officially in a three-way timeway committee. There's probably better players you could pick up. But if Sony Michel – I would reach out to the Daryl Henderson owner and say, hey, do you want to handcuff Sony with Sony Michel? Offer and see if you can get a better player off his bench so he can handcuff his guy, Daryl Henderson. I'm going to do one more here, and then we're out of here. Wee Boss, let's do one more. Pick one, PPR. Marvin Jones, T. Higgins, Josh Jacobs, Elijah Mitchell, Ty Johnson, or Javonte Williams? Pick one. I'm going to go Elijah Mitchell here. That's easy for me if he plays. If he is out, though, I am going to probably lean Ty Johnson. Ty Johnson versus the Houston Texans. But I'm going to go with Elijah Mitchell first, then Josh, and then I'm going to go with Ty Johnson. All right, folks, that's all we got for today. Listen, all our episodes are on the Believe Podcast Network and brought to you by BetOnline.ag. This is the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. Make sure you're following us across the board, all everywhere, streaming platforms. Subscribe to our fantasy-focused YouTube channel, the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere we are. Make sure you're following us, guys. Give us a like, review, all that stuff. We really do appreciate it. Once again, make sure you're joining us Sunday live, every Sunday live, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We are now doing a jersey giveaway. That's right. Win a choice of your jersey. Beat us in FanDuel. That's right. All you got to do is sign up for FanDuel at FanDuel.com/fantasy-focused, and we'll get you set up for the actual tournament. If you already have a FanDuel account, just set up at this Venmo us at TC Capod, $1 Venmo with your username. We'll get you into the tournament. On top of all that, if you just want to join us on Sunday live, all of our donations go to 10% goes to Good Sports. So we donate 10% of all the donations from you guys go to Good Sports, a very good cause to help underprivileged communities, help youth kids, kids play sports. So that's a great cause. So make sure you join us. Once again, I'm Bobby LaMarco. Buck, shout out to all of the guys at the TCK and Fantasy Focus crew. We appreciate you. This is another episode down, guys. Good luck. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Happy, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Stay safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't do any of that stupid stuff. I know it's the day before Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. We're out of here, folks. Goodbye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.